Thank you. We're joined as usual by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning, everyone.
We're pleased to welcome back as our special guest, State Representative Michael Chippendale, a Republican from Foster. Thank you for joining us, Representative.
Thank you very much for having me.
Former House Speaker Gordon Fox on Tuesday pleaded guilty to three charges of corruption. This ended the mystery about what prompted a raid on Fox's home and State House office last March. As part of the plea, Fox acknowledges accepting a $52,000 bribe to approve a liquor license for a Thayer Street restaurant and using $108,000 in campaign contributions for his personal use. Let's get some reaction. Representative Chippendale, you, of course, served with former Speaker Fox. What is your reaction, and do you think this case was just about him, or do you suspect that there was more to this?
First, just about every adjective that could possibly describe this has been used by other people, so I'm not going to try to be unique. It is very, very unfortunate. It is a sad day. All the things that have been said. Was I surprised? Yeah, I was surprised. I did not know what the initial raid was about. No one did. It was really, at least in the circles in which I associate, it was a very closely held secret by law enforcement. No one knew what was happening. Second part, you know, do I think that that's all that was about? You know, a part of me hopes it's not. A part of me hopes that there's still some investigating going on just so that everything can get aired out and washed.
Scott, let's get your reaction. And do you think there was more to this than Gordon Fox?
Well, at this point, we don't know because Fox didn't cooperate. He didn't rat anybody out, as they say, at the State House. Now, some people out there in normal Rhode Island who aren't part of the political hierarchy probably think that's a bad thing. Other people think you take your hit, you go to jail. I think former House Speaker Bill Murphy, his defense lawyer, got him a pretty good deal given what he did, 3 years in jail.
Maureen, there were suggestions all along that Gordon Fox might have been living beyond his means, but bribery is pretty serious. What is your reaction?
That is exactly my reaction. I think everyone expected that he was living beyond his means, and initial investigations were going to yield things about campaign finances and misspent campaign finances. I was surprised to find out how much. I was stunned to find out about an actual bribe of $52,000. That is big time stuff. And my query is the judge going to go for a 3-year sentence?
During a news conference on Tuesday, U.S. Attorney Peter Nerona was asked why the restaurant partners who paid the bribe to Fox were not charged. Here's how Nerona responded.
Now, this was something, as alleged in the information that we uncovered as we were looking at the campaign finance side of the case. And by the time we discovered that, the federal statute had passed. And so whether or not others should or shouldn't be charged is something that's under review. You know, every case is different. I think all of you know from prior statements that I've made that I view both sides of the transaction to be problematic. I made the comment I made earlier about paying to play. I think it's certainly something we need to take a look at.
Scott, Peter Nerona says it's still under review. Do you take him at his word, or do you think that's the end of this?
No, I take him at his word because $52,000, you got to sell a lot of booze to make up for a $52,000 bribe. And I think because there are multiple members of this board, not just Fox, people are going to say, look, who got cut in on the 52 grand? Were there other people on the Board of Licensing who got cut in? And I think that's a question that a lot of people in Providence in particular are going to want the U.S. Attorney's Office to try to answer.
Representative Chippendale, what do you make out of this question about why the people who paid the bribe have not been charged?
I think it's a completely legitimate question. I'm not a lawyer, so I can't get into legalities of statutes of limitations, etc. But I would expect and I would hope that they will follow the trail wherever it leads them.
What do you say, Maureen?
I think there is a possibility. I mean, we know from other cases that after the fact, later on, charges are brought against the bribees. So, I mean, we may be seeing cases brought in this case, particularly by the Attorney General.
The good government group Common Cause of Rhode Island is responding to the Gordon Fox case by calling for two steps meant to discourage corruption. Common Cause says the state should institute routine audits of elected officials' campaign finance reports and that voters should get the chance through a ballot question to restore the State Ethics Commission's oversight of the legislature. Maureen, we see how Speaker Mattiello is going in a different direction, calling for elected officials to submit their campaign finance bank statements to the Board of Elections. Do you think that's an adequate response?
I think that's what the tack of the legislative leadership is going to be. I think what they'll do is come up with a package that talks about auditing bank statements. It might be an interesting idea to audit every single legislator. There's only 113, so you could, Mattiello could carve
that out. That would require a lot more resources because the Board of Elections only has two people in its campaign finance division, and they're not resourced right now to do that. Representative Chippendale, you're a Republican, a small number of Republicans in the House. What do you think of how Speaker Mattiello is responding to this?
Well, so far, as you said, he has addressed the fact that there needs to be some reforms. We know that the House Majority Leader has a bill that will be introduced that you alluded to. I always believe there's room for improvement with everything, and this is no different. We should look systemically at the entire system, and we should look for opportunities to make it better. I think that holds true with everything.
What do you see moving forward here, Scott? Will there be any real steps to try to discourage corruption?
Yeah, the best thing you could do would be to set up something you alluded to in a story, Ian, that you wrote on our blog about the Joe Almeida case, something a little bit similar to this with campaign finance. If there's an IRS type of routine but random audit situation, I think that would put people on notice, much as it does with taxpayers, that look, if you don't tell the truth, there's a good chance you're going to be caught and prosecuted.
Governor Gina Raimondo and House Speaker Nicholas Mattiello traded some verbal jabs last week. This came after Raimondo criticized the legislative budget process while speaking last week in Washington. She's going to roll out her budget next week, and the pension trial has gotten the go-ahead from the state Supreme Court. A lot of stuff coming down the pike. Representative Chippendale, what do you make of this recent spat between the governor and the speaker?
It's difficult for me to say because I don't know what conversations they had afterwards. Do I think that in Washington, D.C., we should be saying and doing things that reflect poorly on our state? No, that's just not how I would do it. I don't think that was necessarily a great thing to do. But if she was concerned, a conversation certainly is warranted for her to sit down with the speaker and say, I'm concerned about this process.
Now, Maureen, we often see how things do happen in the wee hours when the budget is settled at the end of June or occasionally in early July. But was it very impolitic of Raimondo to criticize the budget process?
I think it was. I think it was imprudent, and I think it was somewhat gratuitous, as the representative has mentioned. I mean, she's got to now, the irony is, deal with these people and deal with this system in order to get her budget through. So her timing was bad, too. And it made her look somewhat weak because it kind of showed who the boss is when it comes to the budget. And I don't think that's a good thing for her either.
Scott, what do you make of the governor's criticism of the budget while speaking in Washington?
Well, there's a fine line in politics between confidence and arrogance. And on this one, it looks like the new governor drew that line in the sand at low tide. I mean, I don't get this. How did she get her pension deal done? By meeting behind closed doors with Senate President Paiva Weed, Speaker Mattiello, and Governor Chafee. I mean, how can you be this naive and full of hubris to go down to Washington without giving those people a heads up? I do and have talked to sources at the State House who say that she came in and apologized profusely, again, in a behind-closed-doors, private, back-door meeting with Speaker Mattiello in his office at the State House. So their relationship may actually turn out to be better after this.
And we're shocked to find politics at the State House, right? Well, that's all the time we have here. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Thank you.
Maureen.
Thank you.
And Republican State Representative of Foster, Michael Chippendale.
Thank you very much.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. If you enjoy the conversation, please visit our On Politics blog at ripr.org.
Major funding for Political Roundtable is provided by the Rhode Island Foundation, using philanthropy to move Rhode Island forward.